Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Hashtag I Am Prevera Beach. Hi, my name is Ann McNeil, and I am the Master Wealth Builder, helping to build stronger, better lives and businesses. And I'm very excited to be hosting and co-hosting this podcast today with Artie Williams as we talk with Miss Issa Allen. But I am thoroughly convinced after reading the book Acres of Diamonds by Russell Conwell that we are all leaving our diamond mines in our own backyards as we travel around the world looking for larger diamonds, when in fact the diamonds we seek are found within us and in our own hometown from whence we've come. Therefore, we're calling this podcast Hashtag I Am Revere Beach, Hashtag Revere Beach Pride. And on a weekly basis, I like reading something from the book Revere Beach Moments by Deborah Hall McCollum, as she gives us a historical collection of the people, places, and events from our city's history. So today we're going to just read just a little bit about John and Betty Atkins, business owners. John and Betty Atkins own Atkins Teeth Tender Loving Care, a daycare and preschool, which opened on June 2, 1976. They sought to provide a safe, caring, nurturing environment for children of Revere Beach and surrounding communities. Today, after 40-plus years in business, they operate three licensed facilities to serve children birth to 5 years old. Atkins TLC also serves school-aged children up to 12 years old in aftercare and summer camp programs. Tens of thousands of children have graduated from Atkins Tender Loving Care since 1976. John and Betty both attended Florida A&M University. John was a member of the infamous Marching 100 band. They married in 1964. John and Betty settled in Revere Beach to raise their family. Their original home, located on 10th Street in Revere Beach, sits across the street from the first Atkins TLC building. John and Betty are longtime members of Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church and are very active church members. Atkins Tender Loving Care is accredited by the National Accreditation Commission and has achieved the Florida Gold Seal of Excellence. Atkins TLC participates in subsidized child care programs and are administered by the Palm Beach County Early Learning Coalition. It also participates in the USDA food program. Atkins TLC basic curriculum philosophy operates under the premise that children learn best through a structured play environment. And that is our moment for today. But now let's talk a little bit about our guest, Miss Issa Allen. Throughout time, we experience many events that impact our lives in traumatic ways, not realizing we must recover from these elements that alter our daily routines. Issa Allen, MSRMHCI, has the power and passion to help her clients identify and overcome traumas by providing therapeutic and educational services in the West Palm Beach area. For 13 years, Ms. Allen has been committed to healing her clients, both children and adults, specializing in trauma, substance abuse, depression, and anxiety. She focuses underserved minority and culturally diverse communities, creating means of access to alleviate barriers hindering one from receiving the help they deserve. Ms. Allen is able to organically connect with her clients because she, too, comes from an underserved upbringing. She was raised by a single mother of six who left her native home of Nicaragua to build a better life for her family in the city of Revere Beach and Lake Park. overcoming many obstacles while attending John F. Kennedy Middle School and Palm Beach Gardens High School, as well as working in various fields throughout her career, she found a passion in helping families acquire the skill to set a living, healthier lifestyle. So good afternoon, Ms. Allen, and good afternoon, Mr. Artie Williams. How are both of you doing today?
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm doing great, great, great. So I'm going to turn the podcast over to Mr. Williams, and he's going to start with his question. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, Issa. How are you doing there?
I'm well, and you?
Okay, doing great there. Having a good morning so far. Just as we begin, just tell us a little bit about your upcoming here in Riviera Beach and how you grew up and where areas that you grew up in. Just tell us a little bit about you and family at the beginning so the listeners can know how you came up in the area.
Of course, yes. So, again, my mom's, we are origin country is Nicaragua, and at the time in the 80s, there was a big war going on over there, and in Nicaragua, they don't just recruit males. They recruit children and women. So my mom took it upon herself to provide a better life for herself and her children, and she migrated over here to Riviera Beach in the 80s. We went straight to my aunt's house, who still lives there today, on J Avenue, 35th and J, and we stayed there for a while, and then we moved for like a good maybe 10 years on J Avenue, and then we moved to Federal Gardens. And then for an additional, I want to say like maybe 5 years, we stayed in Federal Gardens. And that's how I came to Riviera.
Okay, that's great. Those are some of the areas I grew up in myself and was able to, Federal Gardens, I came up in Parson Heights, so we were right by each other.
Uh-huh, yeah.
That's right. Now, your career source, this is a licensed therapist. Tell us why. Is there something in your life that led you to that, or what made you choose to go into the profession and the career that you have?
So I can honestly say that I didn't just strictly go to psychology. I do know that there was something always in me from a very young person to always help children. So that was my passion. That is my passion today. I always want to help children in some way, shape, or form. I can remember when I was like 5 years old. I can remember when I was young, and I would donate like money to St. Jude Hospital because they would touch me so bad that it was just like that innate passion that I always had to help children. So I always grew up with that in me. And when I was going to school, I had to, of course, because my mom worked so much and she had to take care of 6 kids on her own, I ended up putting myself through school. And in the beginning, I really didn't know what career path I wanted to go. So I went to school many years, just changing my major. I went from becoming a teacher to real estate to even nursing. And I would do like 2 years of this, but it wouldn't like catch my – I would be very bored after a couple of years in it. So I then went into working for this company that was in the mental health field that actually helped children. And it just sparked something in me that was like my aha moment of this is what I am destined to do. So I, from then, started to go back to school then to complete my master's so that I can get into the field of becoming an advocate in the mental health field for over 14 years now.
Wow, that's great. Great. Mm-hmm. Now, tell the listeners, because I know it's in a lot of households, what are some of the things that parents can look for when it comes to depression or mental illness, et cetera? What are some of the things that they should be looking for?
So depression in general, whether it be for the parents or the child, it's definitely something on when it's a constant being of being sad. It's constant sadness. When something happens in your life, whether it be job-related, losing a job, losing the grief, relationship issues, we all have emotions that are normal, right? So you can become sad, but sadness shouldn't be like a long for the longevity. You should be you should be able to manage your emotions properly, like for good. It's okay to be sad, angry, or any of these emotions, but you shouldn't stay there for a long period of time. When you find yourself staying in there for a long period of time and you find yourself that you're not wanting to go out anymore, you don't want to hang out with your friends, you start to get to a point to where you start to think negative thoughts, or you're always overthinking something. You start to even think about death often, or even suicidal ideations. You find yourself in a place in your home that is your comfort to go to every day. You find yourself like either in bed or not wanting to get out of bed, or even of a favorite sofa that, you know, go to work, or even if you're not working, you're just always in that sofa. You don't find yourself motivated enough to do the things that you used to do in life, and it's now affecting your lifestyle. Then that's when you should look into that to say, you know what, maybe there's something going on with me that I might need some help to get myself out of this situation that I'm in. With children, you know, children handle things differently, and it's really hard, especially in today's society, because the disconnect somehow between kids and parents are a long stretch, especially because there's a change in the air. So I would just encourage parents a lot to just try to tap into their kids every day on how they're feeling, watching, observing a lot more too than just the talking, because we all know as parents, you ask a kid how they're feeling, they're just going to say they're all right, or, you know, okay, and then just keep it moving. But always, like, try to your best to pay attention to their normal activities. And if you see them drifting away from their normal activities, or if they themselves are now, like, in the room a lot, they don't want to hang out with their friends anymore, or you just see that they're just doing something outside of what their norm is, then, again, I would also tap into that and to just try to maybe see if that's something that needs to be discussed with a professional therapist to see if they could just, you know, want to talk about it and help them through their situation as well.
Okay, great. I know I feel like there's a lot of households that are probably experiencing this, but do you feel there's a large number of families that need counseling, just don't want to have that stigma of being labeled, needing mental health issues?
Stigma in our community is super huge. It's very much still high. We are not a community of people who tend to go to a therapist when we are dealing with emotional issues, like other races. When we, I put it like this, when we are hurt, we're sick, we have the flu, we have COVID, we go to a doctor to take care of our physical being. But when we are hurting emotionally, whether it be, again, constant sadness with depression, if you're dealing with anxiety that's interfering with your lifestyle, if you are just dealing with a personality disorder where you don't kind of interact socially with people properly, you're always pushing people away, you're always angry, you're always, your normal way of being is just not a healthy way, quote unquote, that's when it's deemed that you should go to seeing a therapist, to kind of figuring out what you're going on with, what your mindset is, even if you have a disorder or an illness. This is something that I promote heavily in our community because the stigma is really, really still high. And yes, a lot of people think that it's either we're seen as being weak when we go see a therapist, because we always tend to think that we can handle things ourselves. I would even say that we are taught to handle things ourselves. You deal with your own issues. You don't go outside. Even in my own household, you talk and you don't talk your business. You don't tell people what's going on. You know, if anything, you come to me. Like, we're not taught that aspect of life, so to speak. So it's just, we're still behind, so to speak. So that's something that I try to promote heavily, that it is okay to seek help when you need it emotionally. Now, I'm one still, you don't talk your business. I'm not one to express to tell people to talk their business on social media or just talk their business to anybody, but to a professional, a trained professional that'll help you to get to the place that you want to be at, that's when you go and you seek professional help.
Okay. Let me ask you, when it comes to the family thing, is it getting the help, is it more often that the parents and the kids go to counseling together? Or do you find, in more instances, that you deal with one at a time when trying to solve these problems?
So when I'm dealing with children, I absolutely include the family dynamic, because these children didn't get here by themselves in a behavioral realm, so to speak. Sometimes the parents
for the lack of better words, we sometimes create certain things in children, and then when those children exhibit those behaviors as they get older, and now you can't control that child, now you want to, you know, kind of shun them off, and it's like something's wrong with that kid. Well, you know, to be honest, that kid got that behavior from either a learned behavior watching you, or just by peer interaction, or the lack of discipline, or whatever it may be. That kid didn't just get here by themselves. So I personally, especially in my own company, I encourage family therapy when it comes to the children as well.
Now, when it comes to, what do you think is the age group that right now that you're experiencing that probably need more counseling? Is it when they're adolescent and in the elementary age, or then they get in middle school, or is it high school? What do you think the most problem areas when it comes to age that needs more help and they're developing their future?
That's a very good question, because right now in the school systems, a lot of school systems are focusing on the high schoolers because, you know, their next transition is to becoming adulthood and they're going through a lot of issues themselves. However, in my personal experience, and I deal with a lot of middle school, my experience is the middle schoolers are not getting the attention they deserve on that emotional level and even in the household level as well. But I wouldn't just stop there to say, you know, just look at it from or start to look at it from the middle school age group. I would definitely say from the elementary school level. And I say elementary school because I put it this way. Mental health is not just because you have a disorder or because you have an illness. Mental health is simply the way you think, the way you act, the way you react, and the way you feel, and how you deal with your emotions. Now, we all know as with babies and toddlers, their emotions are just kind of given out naturally. But if you can kind of start them from that age, as a toddler, as an elementary child, to teaching them how to properly deal with their emotions, then you can properly guide them better for the future instead of just catching them when they're like in middle school or elementary or high school when they're already acting out.
Okay. Now, that segments right into my next question. I know we have worked together on John F. Kennedy, and I know you're an approved vendor for the Punta County School District. How important is that has been to you to deal with the kids being a vendor for the school system?
Oh, that was the greatest thing that could have happened to my company, because it allows me to go directly in the school system versus just being an outside agency waiting for the parents to call. Because as you know, or as we spoke about earlier, that stigma is still high. We don't get too many black and brown who calls to say, I need a therapist. So being in the school, I'm able to kind of provide that influence and or provide that that just being there with the kids so that they can see that there's nothing wrong with having a therapist. There is nothing wrong. You're not crazy. You're not looked at stupid. Nobody's going to sit here and crack on you. Like my kids at Kennedy and Watkins, they're loud and proud about having a therapist now. And it's a really good feeling to me because it's just helping them on another level that they will succeed more in life, knowing that they are coping with their emotions and coping with their behavioral issues. Because in the school systems, it's really, and I'm not downing the school system, I'm just saying that sometimes, you know, children, they're not a number, but they're just really a lot of paper pushed. And they don't look deeper into every child's situation. But that's where we come in as therapists or, you know, different agencies to do that part, to help the kids out, to figuring out what's going on at home. Some of these kids, their only meal, and let me back it up a little bit. With my agency, I intentionally go into the Title I schools or the lower poverty schools to the demographics of reaching these children specifically, because I felt like in my field of work, when I did not have my company, we weren't reaching our black and brown kids. So when I started my company, and again, when I got the approved vendor from the school district, I put on there as a specialty to go into the Title I schools to specifically target these children because they weren't being given the proper resources and or education to helping them deal with their situation at hand. They were just kind of written off as behavioral issue children, or just children who have behavioral problems, or they're just, they're diagnosed as having a conduct disorder and that's it, not realizing these kids are dealing with abuse at home. They're dealing with not eating, you know, full course meals at home. They're dealing with sexual abuse. They're dealing with, some of my kids were dealing with prostitution at a young age. Some of my boys are on the streets just in gangs, dealing drugs, like all these issues these children are dealing with. And then you expect them to come to school and act normal, quote unquote, and properly take these tests that, you know, the state only really looks at. And, you know, they're not playing a fair game here. You know, if they're not being provided a fair game. Let me take that back. So, yes, being a school vendor to be in the school system has benefited the company so much. And I'm definitely grateful for that.
And that's great. And another question, are all the schools, I think I say all the schools, but are the majority of the schools here, because we need them all, we see a lot of things that's happening right now in our country when it comes to these mass shootings in these schools. And now, do all the schools here in Palm Beach County have someone like you to go in and talk to the kids, or is it just after something like traumatic happens, they let you guys come on campus, or how do you get into that? What makes you come on the campus and speak to these kids?
So every school now, I want to say for the past 3 years, has a counselor on school premises, and they're called a co-located therapist, meaning that they are separate from the academic therapist, and they're specifically on the school site for therapy for mental health. However, to my knowledge, every school has a minimum of one co-located therapist. And that co-located therapist can only handle a certain amount of caseload per year on her caseload. So, or him to see a child in that school, the child has to be referred either by a parent or a teacher, and they have to meet certain criteria. But I guess to answer your question, the only way for that co-located therapist to see that student is to be referred by, a parent or a teacher.
Now, do you feel that should be a change when it comes to that? Do you feel like a kid should be able to just come in and say, well, Mrs. Allen, I think I want to speak to you about something. Don't you think that's important to have that where they could be able to just come in and just be able to speak with someone before these issues get out of hand?
Most definitely. I don't think there is enough mental health staff on the school systems, not even as a staff, but promoting this into our agendas in school. You know, like even having a class, like I said earlier, to teach children how to deal with emotions, you know, right from wrong, and even just not being, you know, making them feel safe enough to express their emotions and their feelings, because half the time they don't even want to, again, say what's going on at home at the fear of, you know, getting retaliated at home because you didn't spread the business at home. Or, you know, it's just making these children aware that, you know, that skills, dealing, again, coping skills is a major thing. Like a lot of kids, they don't know how to deal with coping with their emotions, their feelings. And they just sometimes do negative behaviors more so than they do the positive ones. So, yes, I do believe that they should have more mental health staff and make it a little bit more easier and more promoted, because I don't think a lot of parents knows about this as well.
When it comes to what you do with the schools, are y'all located on the campus all the time, have an office there, or is it something that they – have to call you in for? Because I figure if you're not on campus or if there's no way for the kids to reach you, that makes it a lot more difficult for them to even talk about it. And I think my opinion that we should have some type of person on campus all the time so they can be able to come in and speak with you on this.
Well, again, they to my knowledge, they are supposed to have one co-located therapist on school campus at all times. So, yes, there is someone there at all times.
Okay.
I do know it's not – you have to – if the teacher, let's say, self-referred and the kid is expressing that they want to see a therapist, that is grounds for that therapist to – I'm sorry, that is grounds for that kid to meet the criteria to seeing a counselor or that co-located therapist. Again, but she only has a certain amount of caseload that he or she can put on caseload, and it has to go through proper intake. The parent has to approve, and it's a process, so to speak. It's not like you just have someone there and you can just go and you know, say, oh, I'm having these issues, because then they're going to refer you back to a therapist, which you have to go through that process again. So they should have a little bit more resources on school site. Yes, I'm not considered a co-located. I'm just an agency that is approved to be on the school site. So whether or not the school wants to give me an office is up to their preference. So far, I deal with at least 6 schools in Palm Beach County that I have a personal relationship, that I have like a space there that I can use, quote unquote. So I do plan on increasing that the amount of schools that I have throughout this upcoming school year.
Great. Well, just would you tell the listeners here how they can get a hold of you, your website, your contact information, because this is very important. I think people that's listening have someone in their household or know someone that can benefit from your services. So why don't you just let us know how we can get a hold of you? Try to work with some projects together with you at the local schools here. We want to continue to do that. So just let the listeners know that what they can do and how they can get a hold of you.
Of course. Okay. So my company is called Social Age Counseling, and you can contact me directly at 561-888-0386. Again, that's 561-888-0386. Or you can email me at socialagecounseling@gmail.com, socialagecounseling@gmail.com. I'm also on social media under Officially ESA, EZSA, Officially EZSA on Instagram and Facebook. I also have a nonprofit called Mind Over You org that we do free community forums within the city of Riviera Beach. I do that with Councilman Lawson at the Marina, and you will, that email, you can still contact socialagecounseling@gmail.com. Our next coming event is Monday, July 11th, and that one is going to be understanding the mindset of our children and teens in this day and age, and that's going to be, again, Monday, July 11th at 6 to 8 at the Marina. And then I have my first charity event, September charity, that I'm going to give you a call later, too, because I want you to be involved in that as well. It's going to be our first charity basketball, an all-star charity basketball game. So those are the two events that I have coming up. And then, again, you can contact me on either socialagecounseling@gmail.com or my Instagram or Facebook at Officially ESA.
Well, that's great. Just to let you know, because on July 16th, we are doing a mental health outing at the Goodmont Park on 35th and 36th Street in Riviera Beach. And yes. We would love for you to be at that event, because, you know, what it's about. It's about helping these kids, and we want to focus on mental health. And now I'm going to turn it over to our leader, Ms. Ann McNeil. Ann?
You said July 16th, right, Artie?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
Oh, wow. This is so timely, and I'm typing as you're speaking. Mind Over You is the name of it?
Yes, ma'am. MindOverYou.org.
Okay, I'm just revising everything we're putting on social media so people can go there and connect with you there for these dates.org. I just want to thank you. This has been so educational and informational. And I'm wondering how many other counties you may be providing your services to. because many of the school systems across the United States are realizing that the need is so much greater than the resources to provide.
Correct. Correct.
So are you just only in Palm Beach County?
So far I am just in Palm Beach County because I'm trying to build my therapeutic team on trying to gain therapists that are going to be relatable to my children. And I'm also seeking therapists as well that are either Spanish and Creole speaking. So once I can build a team enough to, because again, every therapist can only handle at least 40 clients per their caseload.
Perfect.
Because if you, yeah, so the more therapists I get, the more I can spread out into different schools.
And the more work you get, the more you can spread out. Because if you have the work,
that's right,
you can find a therapist out. Yeah, I just want to, before we wrap up, thank you so very much. But I also want to let our audience know, you have a lot of people calling in, that if you'd like to ask a question, you can press 1 on your dial on your phone, and we can bring you into the studio to ask any questions that you have of our guests. So now, as we are wrapping up, if you and Artie would go ahead and any kind of closing comments or remarks you'd like to make, and then we can bless everybody to go on their way. Happy holiday weekend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, you go ahead and go first, and let you give your closing arguments.
Thank you. No, I would just like to say, you know, in reference to speaking on mental health and this topic, I just would like to encourage anyone to not feel, you know, embarrassed or, you know, I say this all the time, we all go through things. We all have a story. And no matter, you know, the timing in your life at this moment, if it is something to where you do need assistance, again, to get from where you are to where you need to be or where you want to be, don't hesitate in calling a therapist. It doesn't even have to be me. If it's somebody that referred you by another friend, just call someone to go and gain that treatment goal plan, so to speak, to help you making those baby steps towards your goals. And to, you know, encourage other family members to try to break in the stigmas. We got to stop calling everybody crazy for, you know, wanting to see a therapist or just, you know, shunning people down for doing that, because the more we do that, the more we're hurting ourselves and we're not going to progress as a community. So, again, I want to thank you for even having me on the show. And just thank you.
Okay, great. I want to thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
We'll love to have informative information and people as just like you to let the county, I'm just here, the whole county, know that you're available. And we need people to help our kids and help our adults. So everybody goes through something in their life. And having somebody to talk to and having an outlet is very helpful. So I want to thank you for coming on, and whenever you get to the basketball thing and you want me to help you out, great. You know, we always like to participate. And again, I want to see you in July on the 16th at this event that we got coming up in Biltmore Park. And we're going to just make a difference.
Most
definitely. And we're going to continue to serve the community. And have a great rest of your day. And I know you told me you was going to be out of town. So I said, well, listen, just call in from wherever you are right now. We love to have you on the show. So I'm glad you did it. And
thank you
for coming on.
No, thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you both. Thank you for blessing us today, because the more we have this discussion, the more people can become educated, seriousness of mental health. And so we're going to ask everybody to remember, you have everything within you to do everything you need to do, but it's not a problem to ask for help. And so until next time, we are hashtag Rivera Beach, and we want to wish everybody a happy holiday weekend, and we'll see everybody next week, same time, same place. Thank you so very much. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.